What is going on, beautiful people? It is the Body Brain Coach coming at you with another podcast episode of the Body Brain Broadcast. In this particular podcast episode, we're going to be talking on the concepts of subjectivity, objectivity, abstract art, and concrete art, okay? And how these all connect you into a meaningful sense of the space and time that you find yourself in. Okay. Now, we figure out that abstract is it's basically this whole creation in the mind of infinity, forever, eternity, right? And everything has this stitched within it. Religion, metaphysics, history even has a component of this, meaning that the evolution theory, we came from apes, but everything started in a big bang, a point of, infinite, the nothing and the something. How does that happen? And it's the same argument about how do you get a God? Does a God create itself? And what was before God? Nothing? Well, what is nothing exactly? Is there a way to even get to that? No, I don't. With the thinking conceptual mind, is that too abstract, or can we take it into a concrete, simplistic version of that so that we can better understand it, right? So that we can comprehend it a little better. Not that we will ever truly understand it and know exactly what it's about. Meaning, what is going on here? What do we keep doing every day? You know, what happens when we die, and what are we doing here, quote unquote, when we're alive? What does it mean to be alive, and what's the purpose of it? And more so than that, because the beings, right? Meaning the conscious, animate, the personalities, the characters in the game, in the movie, right? What does that even matter at all if it all ends either abruptly or over a expanded amount of time? Like, what does that mean? How does it have any meaning? What matters truly, right? And so you get into philosophy, you get into religious literature and things like this because you want to understand about yourself. More so, you want to know about yourself. You want to move out of conceptualizing and move more into actualizing it, which is experiencing it directly. Moving out of this pure, I think this is how it is, versus I know this is how it is. I've experienced that. And not just once, but I continue to experience it. Because as it unfolds within me, I know that it's true, and I know that, right, whatever I've experienced has been shown to me by my higher self, or whoever you want to call it, God, right? Since that's a buzzword nowadays, and how people say it's been spoiled, right? And how it's been brought into this realm that it doesn't really have much pull anymore to a lot of the beings, right? You know, this is like using the name in vain, saying, you know, Jesus Christ and saying God and saying any name that's holy and right and upright and righteous and right, that is sacred, you could say, that has been placed in a realm of exclusivity, meaning that we're higher, we're superior, we're more than, because we are your creators. And right, so that would be disrespect, that would be disingenuous of a being who knows that was their creator and now is, you could say, bashing or belittling that being that has created us. But what we get into, see, this is what I'm talking about here. It's abstract and concrete. This is the universe, meaning that this is the game. There was this person, he was on this little forum chat, and He was just coming up with all these different concepts and trying to create this whole hypothesis and theory about what is actually going on in this world, in this space, and why there is pain and suffering and this hierarchy system that's been set up, and why there's poor people and then there's really rich, mega wealthy people who couldn't really give a care in the world about someone who doesn't have anything to eat or drink and doesn't even have it within their consciousness to find a solution because they're dependent upon, right, the hierarchy, the higher ups in the system, right? And what he said was that there's this competition that's been set up within the universe, right? Like, what does it mean to go against something? You're versus that, right? It's Mortal Kombat. You're this fighter versus that fighter, right? This planet versus this planet. This group of beings versus this other group of beings. That's where gangs come in. That's where tribes come in. That's where, right? The tribes, meaning it's not one big tribe where we're all together and we're all free and happy and caring for each other in one tribe. It's a difference in tribes, meaning we begin to pluralize ourselves into races, right? It's not one human race. It's many different races based upon different hues of our skin. Now, here's the thing about the plurals. Here's the thing about the many. It isn't right, it isn't wrong to create more and more and more, to love more and more and more. But here is the thing. There's the creation of something that once it has come into this here realm, this center that we find ourselves in, of the consciousness, of the galaxy, of the solar system, right? We find ourselves here. What has entered the picture that's making things muddy, that's making things perverted, distorted, making things filthy, making things, we would say, wrong, not right, incorrect, off balance? It causes sickness, it causes disease. So what we say was has entered the picture, but an extremity of the concrete. Follow me here. So it's very interesting to go into these different conceptual realms of things, because it's not meant to just stay there and you get stuck there and you live there forever and you never really challenge your mind to take you to where you really are designed to be. It's just that this is the game, and the brain is the game, and the brain is set up in a way where it's split in two hemispheres, right? Left and right. So this is beautiful that I wanted to get into here. It's logic versus the emotion. Right? And here's the thing I really wanted to get into, though, more so than that. It's not about how the differences are bad and how, you know, if someone looks different than you or if they speak different than you, that they're wrong and that they're off and that they're not really supposed to be here with you. And this is your land. This is your planet. And you want them to go somewhere else, right? It's not that. Like, it's not about that. It's not about seeing yourselves as one, and then whenever something doesn't really feel good to you, you just throw it out, right? You reject that to the extent to which it doesn't feel as if it's a part of the whole anymore. So it, in that separation, in that belief, right, it's a very strong attachment to this belief that it doesn't belong and that it has been abandoned and betrayed and designed to be the destroyer of worlds, you see? And that's what happens when we look at the differences and then we start to say, that's wrong, it isn't meant to be. Because here we have infinity, right?
where everything really goes. I mean, anything can happen, and everything is meant to happen in infinity. It's not like infinity is meant to be this long, drawn-out story of just perfection and wonder and joy and happiness. It's like, what are we doing here in this limited physical vessel if infinity exists, right? Why wouldn't we be exploring infinity and traveling all over the place, right? And being that unlimited version of ourselves. Why wouldn't we be that versus this? Here's the beautiful thing about that. We are that still. That ability, that gift, that whole concept even in our minds that we could be everything in all things and we could do everything we want and have everything we want, that's still here. That's still present. That's still an option. It's an opportunity before us, right? Like all the time. And so it would just be an attachment, a very strong attachment to the belief that that is not in existence anymore and that we are just in this limited physical body and that we're just the monkey that has evolved from the, you know, the grasslands, from the forests and the jungles, right? And that we're animalistic and we're barbarous and we hate each other and we've always been this way where we kill not in a balanced proportion, but that we kill endlessly and we destroy endlessly because, hey, that is not me and I am not that. I am me. This is who I am. And I'm separate than that. I'm different than that. And that attachment is what gets us into this whirlwind of trauma and chaos and an absence of love, the love and light that we truly have been brought here to bring into this ring of consciousness. So this is very much logic in its motion. It's very much, right, the lateralization of brain function, meaning, look it up, Wikipedia this. This is not something to just listen to me about. It's something to do your own research on. This is literally how you learn new things. You challenge your brain, your mind, to study something that maybe isn't your chosen profession that you love more so than anything else, or the one that you've just put yourself into as a comfortable setting and zone that you want to be in. Here's the thing. You're not really limited in any way mentally, right? If everything's functioning well, everything's going perfectly in the brain, you're meant to really search and go into all these different realms and explore yourself, learn about yourself so that you can get what you want. This is inevitably a game that's set up to get you what you want. If it wasn't a game that's set up to get you what you want, it was meant to just a game to make you suffer and have pain and stress and worry and strife and guilt and shame, that would be hell. You wouldn't be looking for a god to get you out of hell if you knew that you were destined to hell for eternity, right? Like there's no way you can get out. You're in there forever, right? Wrong. This is not hell. This is not heaven. This is a planet. This is Earth. This is an opportunity zone for you to really level yourself up or not to and keep continuing on the path you're going down. Whether that's destructive to your being, who knows? Maybe in the grand scheme of infinity, it actually is propelling you forward. But who knows, really? So the responsibility we have here is to learn about self, unlearn those things that are not harmonious to self, right? So that we can get to the next stage. If we are stuck and limited and stagnant and full of dense energies that aren't allowing us to be free, right? Free thinking, free moving, then that literally means that we have been compromised from the inside out. And if our literal brain, which is this system inside of our head that sets us free or puts us in captivity, if that has been compromised, then that is a recipe for disaster, and that's what we have here today in the world. When you're thinking about all the things that just don't seem to be right. All right? Or ethical or moral, whatever you want to call it, or even legal, right? They shouldn't even be legal. Some things are legal that really shouldn't be legal, or some things are illegal that should be legal, right? This is the different things you can explore within yourself and possibly in your life level up enough to where you can actually affect change in these systems. Okay? So I think we touched on a few of these concepts. Let's get into the objectivity and subjectivity. There's a lot of people that have these questions and stuff, and they ask themselves, is anything truly objective, meaning exactly as we see it, and nothing really is different but that? Like, that is the absolute, right? Like, objectivity, right? We're thinking of something that is not subject, meaning it doesn't change. It is this way. It's been this way forever. It's the subjectivity also would be, or subjectivity would be, right, open to change, open to the malleability, the metamorphosizing process, right? That, and the thing is, metamorphosizing and evolution, we can say these things are subjective, but they're also objective, right? In terms of, like, evolution to one being might mean that we, you know, over time have come into this sort of new, upgraded, advanced version of a human body. And then subjectivity to someone else could be that we're evolving our minds in a way that we have adapted ourselves to fit into vehicles that you would say that transport us around in a consciousness space, a world, a realm, a dimension. Right? And who would truly decide that? Like, it's not like you were there. It's not like you could empirically prove, right, you were there millions of years ago and detail all of that and write it out and even be able to say that, yes, this happened millions of years ago versus just, hey, maybe it only happened, right, 500,000, maybe 100,000, right? Like, who's to say that the time notion in our mind is even working properly? And that we're not moving backwards versus forward, right? So that we can rework this thing. The objectivity and the subjectivity argument that something could be concrete, right? Unchanging. It's not up to opinion. It's not up to the way one person perceives it, but because it's what everyone perceives exactly as it is. But that right there, and when we think about something that's truly objective, meaning is God objective, is humanity objective, have we always been this way? Are we always going to be this way, thinking and speaking and learning and adapting in these different ways that we are now? Have we always been this, right? Many different people have all these ideas of, or maybe experiences also of, like, you know, seeing themselves in another form, another shape, right? And it doesn't fit the narrative that we evolved at all in the way that mainstream science history has taught us. Would they be wrong? Right? Who is the authority? Who writes the ultimate story of humanity? Because you have billions of conscious agents, right? Who gets to say exactly how it is? God? Who is God? Is there a place we can go where we can see God, meet God, shake God's hand? Does God even have hands? Does God need hands? If God was a human being, God would have hands, right? Because human beings have hands. All right? If there's some God force, some God energy out there that looks exactly as humans look because it designed humans exactly the way it looks, right? Then we could shake its hand, right? Has anyone ever shaken God's hand? Right? And here's the thing about that. Have they really ever shaken God's hand? Could they really prove that? Even if they paint it up, even if they do a simulated video of them, you know, doing this, does that prove to every single human being that it's true? And does every human being get a say in that? Right? Like, how much consciousness do you need to possess, meaning intelligence, meaning just the wherewithal to have a say, to get to choose whether it's something that stands or something that doesn't stand, right? Something that's objective or just purely subjective, just it is what it is, right? Here's the thing about that saying also, it is what it is. It is what it is. What do we often say that about or say that to? Why do we say that phrase all the time? It is what it is. Usually that means that there's nothing we could do to affect change upon that. There's nothing we could do to comprehend that. There's nothing we could do to unwrite that from the storybook, from our life, right? It is what it is. Someone got sick. They got cancer. They, you know, got in a car crash. Hey, it is what it is. I can't change that. It's happened. Right? So when thinking about this, is that saying it is what it is? Is that an objective statement that's clearly exactly as it is? Nothing could change the events that happen in our lives. Nothing could reverse that. Nothing could change that. Now we're going way deep into a rabbit hole. And these are the places I love to go with my mind because, you know, I'm a grounded guy and I can be as grounded as anybody. I could be like a monkey and, you know, roll on the ground and, you know, sing songs and chant and do all this, you know, base level stuff. But I also can take my mind to another universe, another planet, to see this from a way more advanced perspective, way more expanded perspective than just, no, this is written in the books that we have here on this planet, and we're acting as if this is the only planet within this solar system. And we're also believing that whatever the people, the highest beings, most intelligent, quote-unquote, most authority figure-ish people in this realm know exactly everything that's ever happened in infinity. And that is a recipe for disaster. And that is the downfall of humanity. That we wouldn't be an explorer of our consciousness anymore. That we would just be, you know, a spectator that's just wandering in and out of these different worlds and accepting things as they are, as they come, and saying it is what it is. There's no way I can change that. I believe that things happen in our world in certain ways that actually set us up for ultimate success within a hierarchy system of the galaxy, you could say. Right? And that whatever philosophical argument that people want to make about it is just all mind-created. And that if we really just get right to the point, we're saying that everyone's end destination or end goal is the same. Ultimately, if they're finding themselves within us, the same systems, right? And they're looking for an outlet. They're looking for a savior. They're looking for someone to save them from this reality, to bring them up to a higher state. More balanced state, whatever you want to call that, more harmonious realm. Here's the beautiful thing about that, though, with the mind is still, when it's focused and in control and it's concentrated on its eternal essence, there's nothing that could happen that could really steer that being into believing that what it's physically now currently attached to, that that is really everything that's ever happened, everything that will happen. And that if you've been in this body, you've been in another body, especially if you're even contemplating thoughts like that. And that the most beautiful thing you could do is choose to detach. They say surrender, say let go, right? whenever you are feeling stuck, in a mode that you don't want to be in. Well, by letting go, right, you're actually releasing the need to control it, which is true power. I mean, if you don't need to control this, it's true power. I mean, I don't care what you say. If there is beings who are just, they're so devoted into controlling this reality, and they don't know that they're an eternal being just existing in this reality for a brief snippet of time, or whatever you want to call it, then that is their loss, and that is their limitation more so. And that's the beauty of it, because they'll recognize it eventually, that they don't need to hold to the notion that they need to control something, have power over something. And when you do move into like love, light, harmony, and being one with everything, and really respecting everything, honoring everything, and right, keeping all these principles and rules in place that need to be there, because hey, things do come out of the woodwork sometimes that need to be put in their place, that would be the ultimate recipe for success, for happiness, for longevity. And that has already happened. And we could say that our ancestors were in line with that, and hey, that we call it marauders, crusaders, pirates, destroyer of worlds. They didn't want that. They decided something else, right? But that we don't move out of that state if we truly are consistent in our belief of that state. And our harmony and our resonance with that state is still existing within the heart, within the belly of Earth. So, with that being said, it's been the Body Brain Coach, and I hope that you enjoyed this and that you were able to keep your mind just present with where I was going. Some of these things, people say they're psychedelic. Some people say that it's too airy-fairy for them. Some people say that they can't follow. Some people would say that, hey, this is the kind of stuff I enjoy tuning into. I don't know. It's I'm open-minded individual. I like to keep my brain clean, meaning fresh, meaning continuously washed with varying ideas, varying concepts. I mean, if you are stuck in one mode, one zone, and one belief, right? One belief system. You know, hey, nothing wrong with it if it's not doing conscious intentions harm to any other being, but it's a limitation. But people know that, you know, and if the love is there, and if the desire to help and serve humanity is there, I mean, you know, there is some, you could say, juice to that belief, meaning that there's energy, there's power there, if it's utilized in a way that it keeps in mind the whole family, not necessarily just one little part of the family. Right? Not, it's not the Christians, it's not the Buddhists, it's not the yogis, it's not the Hindus, it's not the Asians, it's not the blacks, it's not the whites, it's everybody. We're all here together. It's not, and not just that, it's not just the bananas, it's not just the watermelons, it's not just the chicken, it's not just the beef, it's not just the pork. It's everything, right? Everything has its place, and we know what is intelligent to continue doing, right? By if it's working for us or not. And we know if it's working for us or not, right? By all the biomarkers, by all of the measurements that we could take upon that. And more so than that, the level of quality of life it gives us. And happiness it gives us, and if it is allowing us to live a life that is rooted within wisdom and truth and not just another dogma, not just another selfish, egotistical version of the absolute that wants all the power, wants all the control, wants to believe that it is the ultimate thing that is satisfactory for every human being. Because that, I mean, that's when we're really talking about it here. It's not necessarily that it may not be the right thing for every human being to do, but is it satisfactory for every human being to do? Because some beings just don't get satisfaction from what everybody else gets satisfaction from. And that's the crazy thing about it, you know? And in a world where it's not allowed that every being can be satisfied and happy and content in their life, right? Is that a good world, a bad world? Is that right? Is that wrong? You know what I mean? Is it balanced? Is it imbalanced? That everyone could be satisfied and get exactly what they want? Or nobody can be satisfied and get what they want? Right? So there's always a balance there, as you can see. If you explore that enough, there's some balance. And, you know, if it ever, like, seesawed too heavily to one side, you know, I would just believe that there would need to be some mixing and matching that needs to happen. Because, I don't know, the universe likes its light and it likes its dark. It likes its up and it likes its down. It likes its dualities. It likes its phi, its pi. It likes all that. So, with that being said, the Body Brain Coach, wholeness.